Matt Carter.
Avery.
Eric.
My name is Tristan.
Morning, y'all. And we are here to talk about personas. Tristan, would you mind giving us a definition for what personas are?
Yeah, from my great note-taking skills I had in class this week, I got that personas are fictional characters created to represent the ideal customer or user of a product or service.
Yeah. And somebody who isn't Tristan, can you tell us what the difference is between a persona, which is this fictional representation of a person, and a segment, which is what we talked about last time and is sort of a foundational thing for personas? Avery, you were here with us on Wednesday. Can you explain the difference between those two ideas?
Yeah, so I would say the segment is more like things that everybody like already has, and it's not like made up. It's what like real life groups we're putting into, and then the persona is more of like the make believe ideal person.
Yeah, exactly. So the segment is the actual demographic or behavioral data that you have. If you are talking census data, it's ages, it's incomes, it's geography. If you're talking about behaviors, like Target knows what you're looking at when you're on their website. They can track that. There is an actual behavior that's attached to it. Personas are the imaginary people that we make up to represent those statistics and figures. So your the ask that was out to you for this morning was to come up with a product that that has a defined persona, or that you think has a defined persona, but that could be reaching a different persona without changing anything about the product, but just changing something about either the messaging or how a particular group is reached. And Eric, we haven't heard your voice yet on this podcast, so I'm curious to hear what you have found.
Yeah, so I chose Zyns, which are nicotine pouches. And I feel like their like persona as of right now would be like the college frat kid, especially. So they offer a rewards program if you put like a code in, and the rewards seem more so targeted towards them anyway. It's like Yeti coolers with Zyn stickers all over it and iPads and whatnot. But I feel like they could go more so towards that blue collar country guy who already dips. I feel like, I mean, they don't need to change anything because they're already, you know, into dipping. They might think Zyns are soft because they're pouches, and I know a lot of people are against that. But they could offer maybe more rewards targeted towards them, and that would reach that persona, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I am trying to get into the Zyn website, and it really, really wants me to know that I'm supposed to be 21 to go find these things. Can you share a little bit about this product? Like you said, they're nicotine pouches.
Mm-hmm.
Is it supposed to be a like an alternative to
So I mean, in their like marketing statement, they says like they say it's for it's like a smoke-free alternative to cigarettes, but I mean, as far as I know, people who like smoke cigarettes and stuff like that, they don't like go to Zyns instead. It's more so the college frat kids who are
it's
kind of trending, I guess.
Yeah. So John almost had a comment. So this kind of seems like it's somewhere between a vape and chewing.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in flavors.
Yep.
And these look exactly like, well, it's somewhere between like a chew tin and a pack of gum, which is probably very, very intentional. But your perception is that these, the primary audience being young college age men are not ditching cigarettes for these, but just picking them up because, nicotine is an addictive, drug that makes you feel good. So why not? And it tastes like gum. So there we go. And I'm assuming that you can chew this in a restaurant and not get in trouble for it like you would hitting a vape.
Yeah.
So what's the argument for a blue collar person who already choose to come in to this product?
They could bring in the health benefits. I know, like chewing tobacco can lead to mouth cancer. As far as I know, the research on Zyns, there's no health like risks when it comes to that. It's just straight nicotine in those pouches. There's no tobacco, anything. So they could bring that in. And also, I mean, with the rewards program, some of the stuff they do offer could target them. I know you can get a Traeger grill, which is pretty cool. There's trail cameras, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to buy a lot for that. But they could add more more rewards that target them as well.
I totally agree that you are you're on the right track with the like those reward rewards being something that an older person is going to be interested in. I was just trying to see if there was any sort of market research on who is using Zyns, and the finest reporting seems to be from GQ, and they say that it is in, being seen in Major League Baseball on the Joe Rogan Experience, and is being used by Tucker Carlson, who reaches a significantly older audience than just college-age young men. You said that there's the potential health benefit that, like, as far as we know, this doesn't cause cancer of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to overcome the potential challenge? Like you said, pouches are not necessarily favored by people who chew, and they come in minty and fruity flavors. How could you bridge that particular gap between the person who is currently chewing tobacco, which I think may be mentholated? I don't really pay attention to chew, I'll be honest.
It might.
But then you're introducing, one, it's a different product entirely, and two, it comes in these city boy flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you square that circle?
I mean, I do know there's no way to change out of pouches. I mean, it's like a powder, so there's really no way to change that. They could introduce a flavor, like more of a tobacco flavor. I know that would be changing it a bit. But as far as I know, that's probably the only way to do it. Unless people just start realizing, I don't want to destroy my teeth with dip. I don't really see how you could convince them to change two pouches.
My roommate, my first year in college, chewed, and he never didn't smell, and the spit bottles left all over the room were so attractive. We made so many friends that year. I think there's a really good argument for, like, these won't make your dorm room smell gross, or won't make your truck smell like spit. There's a, like, it's not hygiene, but it's like a way to make yourself more attractive.
Yeah.
Or for somebody.
Yeah. And with Zyns, you don't have to, like, spit. So you don't need a spit bottle, which is gross. And I mean, you can have them, like, wherever you want without
worrying so much. Yeah. Work. Avery, let's come to you next. What product did you find?
I chose Gymshark.
Okay. And can you tell us about Gymshark?
It's really just a clothing brand for people who go to the gym, is who it's targeted towards right now.
And, like, what kind of people who go to the gym? Like, young people, old people?
Younger, but I've definitely seen older people also wear it.
Define older, because I was thinking, like, 65 and up.
Oh, no. I was not thinking 65 and up. I was thinking, like, 30s to 40s.
Yeah. Practically on the way to the grave. So, younger, let's say under 50 is probably a broad, maybe under 40? Like,
maybe. Okay. I'm sure some people still wear it over 40, but probably under 40.
Just under 40. The advertising for this is decidedly for the 20-something kind of market. So, so that is what you're saying is the current persona.
Yeah.
Person who goes to the gym. What's the thing that defines Gymshark over something like Lulu or Under Armour or anything else?
there's really nothing, in my opinion. It's just the logo is different.
Does the, we haven't really talked about brands yet, but brands have personalities. Like, there is a difference between Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops, even though they are, and I'm just saying that because I see your hat on this morning, but the, like, there is a difference. There is a personality difference between Walmart and Target, even though, like, under the surface, the products are the same and the prices are very, very similar. Is there a personality difference between an Under Armour, a Lulu, and Gymshark?
I don't see one, but, like, I would say even Lulu, like, I think Lulu is more of a luxury that I wouldn't necessarily wear to the gym, where Gymshark is a little bit more affordable, and you don't feel as bad wearing that to the gym. Mm.
Is anyone else familiar with Gymshark? I see some tentative nodding. Do you see a difference in either personalities or marketing for Gymshark from some of the other athletic, athleisure type brands?
I will say Gymshark does bring in a lot of, like, influencers to promote. I know, like, Nike's more so stays towards athletes, but Gymshark really targets those TikTok influencers, so that kind of separates them and gets a lot of people to buy their product instead.
I think you're on the right track there with the TikTok, probably fitness or, like, lifting kind of representation. As I'm looking through this website, it is all, I don't want to say bodybuilders because that's probably not fair, but the body shape of these people is way more muscular than what you would see on a Lululemon or a comparable product. And, like, this ad right here, talking about sports bras that are more trustworthy, supportive, and reliable than your ex. A phrase that you would never see on Lulu's website. So there is a personality difference here that is going after a specific type of person. Who do you think Gymshark could be reaching that it is not currently?
I think the everyday person who doesn't necessarily go to the gym, because it's really, in reality, just clothes. Like, it's no... In my opinion, the clothes aren't much different than Lululemon. They kind of feel the same. Like, there's not a huge difference in the product, but they just target more towards your typical gym goer rather than your everyday person, which could boost their sales a ton.
Yeah. So positioning it more as a standard athleisure type, like, you wear these because they're comfortable, not because you are going to go work on your squats.
Yeah.
Yeah. The men's section of this website is, like, these dudes have never skipped leg day. This is an astounding achievement for these dudes. Is there a potential downside for, like, if you were just the average everyday person and you were looking at something like Gymshark, thinking about how these pictures are portraying both the men and the women, is there a potential downside for somebody who just buys it to wear it around the house, that it might be saying something about them? That,
yeah, I mean, personally, looking at these people, it's like, oh wow, they're really fit, like, I don't belong in those clothes. So they would have to change their advertising a little bit so that it's more of the average everyday person rather than the ones who clearly work out every single day.
Yeah. There's like, your clothing says something about you. I think there is definitely a case that somebody would just come in and buy something, not knowing. But as soon as someone asks them, oh, are you a regular at the gym, or what is your gym, or what's your favorite supplement, and you just give them that deer in the headlights, I don't know what you're talking about look, might turn somebody off. But as you say, like, these, I mean, really, they are just clothes. I can see, like, there are some differences in the cuts and things like that from Lulu, so maybe this would actually work for somebody who has a different body shape. But in... yeah, there could be a like a brand impression kind of challenge between between those two. But that would be interesting to see how this plays outside of a outside of an actual gym. Good find. Tristan, since you have the mic in front of you, let's go to you.
Yes. So yeah. I didn't go for a really specific brand. I just went for a general product, which is grills.
Okay.
So
what kind of grills? Because there are so many.
So I'm just going for like the basic grill that you throw hot dogs on and burgers. Like
the traditional Weber kettle grill that everybody has in their backyard.
Right. Yeah. So like I said, for the typical persona of like someone you think of as having a grill, his name's Grill Grillington, age 35. He's a dad. He's got three kids, lives in the suburbs, has a decent backyard, invites his friends from college over every weekend for cookouts and so their kids can hang out. And he mostly just sticks to dogs and burgers on the grill and cooks steaks once a year for the once a year date night with his wife.
His poor wife has three kids and gets one date night a year.
Yeah. So this new persona that I'm thinking he can reach is a Curious Carl. He's age 23, single, lives in town, doesn't have a backyard, but he's got a small patio. He's just got into cooking shows and wants to learn how. He's not interested in like grilling dogs and burgers. He's more into grilling that advanced stuff like lobster tails or salmon.
Yeah.
He only cooks for himself. He posts his food on this new app called Griller. It's created by this new tech and marketing genius named Jeremy Van Andel.
That was a joke for all of 18 people.
But. Yeah. And then he just prides himself on something new, like making his food better every time he cooks.
Yep. So you're playing to your audience, which is appreciated. So there, if you look at the Weber kettle grill lineup, there are some expensive ones. There's a $500 kettle grill that I don't understand at all the way down to a basic $100 thing, which I think is probably what you're talking about when you say basic setup in the backyard. Which one of these products in particular is Curious Carl going for?
Honestly, Curious Carl is probably going to go for the more expensive one, as he, like I said, he wants to make these advanced like foods or whatever. Mm-hmm. So and since he's single, he's going to have more money to throw around, so he's definitely going to want to go for the more expensive one.
Yeah. Let's see. So there is the MasterTouch 26-inch grill, which, again, I don't understand what the difference is between any of these products, but the original is clocking in at $220 and comes in your choice of three distinct colors. If you had to choose between what I'm going to call big green egg green, it's more brown than actual copper, but copper, and then black. Which one is Curious Carl going to go for?
He's definitely going for copper.
Why?
Because it's different.
Yeah. What else might Curious Carl be doing with these cooking adventures? Like, is he sharing it with anybody?
Yeah, like what I was saying, like, Griller obviously doesn't actually exist, but he's definitely going to join, like, some sort of Facebook group where you post your grilling.
Yeah, might throw it on TikTok or something.
Yeah, might make a TikTok account or something. Yeah. Like, he's definitely just trying to put it out there because he wants, like, something to be proud of and something he can show others.
Yeah. That was a good find. Well done. I think you are genuinely spot on with that. They did start doing pellet grills, which is like the Traeger, more of a big thing in like cooking Instagram and TikTok videos. They are pricey at $1,099 for the cheapest entry, but that fancy looking kettle grill is
for a pellet grill.
Yeah, from Weber.
Oh,
yeah, that's why.
I was about to say ours was not that expensive.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you pay for when you buy a Weber, you're buying the name as well. But
name brand.
Yep. There's got to be one that's not that much. Anyway, good work. Good find. John, what you got?
I kind of did the same thing he did. I don't really have like a specific brand, but I know there are some out there.
Okay.
Mine is e-bikes. Right now, they are kind of portrayed to the cycling community, and the people that it could reach is, you know, the non-cyclists that live in the urban area or even the suburban area that need, that rely on different modes of transportation to work or just wherever.
Yeah. So you are saying that currently they are positioned for more of a suburban type owner?
I mean, they're in the urban and suburban. I mean, I think it's urban and suburban, but more, I think more urban, really.
So they're currently positioned more urban. Mm-hmm. And so who is the, I'm sorry, can you clarify just who the new target would be with?
The people that like just aren't really into bikes that, you know, might take a scooter or something.
Yeah. But the, like the Bird or Lime scooters that people leave around and throw in the canal. Mm-hmm. Is the price tags on these can be a little spicy.
Yeah, I mean, I was either thinking you could either buy one, because, I mean, in the long run, I feel like it would, instead of paying for the bus or something like that, in the long run, it wouldn't add up like a bus ticket would. I mean,
yeah.
Or you could rent one, but then it would, the price eventually would buying one.
Actually, I don't know how to say this name properly. Aventon is what I'm going to guess. Their cheapest e-bike model is $999, which is it actually not too bad for an e-bike. But their priciest one is $2,700. It says it comes with some free accessories and it's trail ready. What's the what would be your pitch for somebody who lives in an urban area and needs this thing to get to work or to school, is using public transportation, but for whatever reason isn't into biking? Like, what's the pitch for them to?
That's a good question, honestly. Well, I feel like
what's the big upside to an e-bike over a regular road or trail bike?
So, I mean, it's a low impact, like, I mean, not low, it's like a low exercise. Like, it doesn't take much exercise because it's electric. Yeah. And if you want to pedal, you can pedal.
Yep.
There's the cost savings, and it's, the controls are easy to use.
Yeah.
It's pretty plain and simple what buttons to push and
yep.
how to use it. And, you can build like a sense of community, like around the e-bike community.
You say more about that. Like, what's the, how would you do that? So, like, let's say that you were one of these bike makers. What would be your, how would you do that with an urban group around e-bikes?
Good advertising. You know, you could advertise that, you know, you and all your buddies can get one and, or rent one, but probably get one, and you could all ride around in ease around town.
I don't actually know if this exists with e-bikes, but a lot of motorcycle groups or brands have riding groups or affinity groups. There are, sorry, my brain just went silent. You can find, I was thinking it's, like mopeds and those kinds of scooters also have affinity groups that just go for rides around town.
Really?
So if you were one of these dealers and you just like started to build a sense of community around these, I think like you could get some people to buy in on that for sure.
Be like the new moped group.
You say biker gang and you have a completely different picture in your head from somebody riding around on one of these dorky things. What's the, is there a potential downside for somebody who is not an avid or experienced bike rider hopping on an e-bike and relying on it as primary transportation?
They could, you know, not know how to use it. They couldn't, you know, do their little research on YouTube and how to ride a bike and stuff. They could fall off. Another downside is probably packing it around. Like if you end up buying it, Like if you live in an apartment, it would be kind of hard to hassle it and get it up to your apartment.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have a elevator or something like that, or room to put it. That is a kind of a big downside. That's like especially for the urban area.
You were talking, I was doing some Googling. I've been to New York a couple of times in the last couple of years, and there are e-bikes everywhere, and they don't pay attention to traffic signals, so you can get run over by them, or you can see them crash into each other or cars. And there's a New York Times story, how e-bike battery fires became a deadly crisis in New York City. City leaders are racing to regulate battery-powered mobility devices, which have been the source of more than 100 fires so far this year. This was June 2023. So Lovely. In the first 5 months, really, of 2023, more than 100 fires directly linked to the lithium batteries inside of a e-bike. And they're including scooters in this, which I think is a little bit unfair because those are a different animal.
They get thrown in the river.
Yeah.
Well,
and this one is talking about a scooter that exploded in the living room of an apartment building, or someone who lives in an apartment building, next to their 8-year-old daughter. Don't bring them into your apartment, seems to be the advice there. Yeah.
Maybe keep them outside.
Yeah. And I think this, the safety thing, like if you are not an experienced rider and you are suddenly given a thing that like you twist the throttle and you can pretend like it's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That you are potentially setting yourself up for an epic failure. That gets, you know,
I would, like if we were to like advertise or to advertise this, definitely put like in the subtitles or something, you know, read up on how to ride a bike and how to kind of use one.
Yeah, for your
have a tutorial video
for your writing group. Make sure that you are including some training.
That's pinned on like on the Facebook group, you know, up on top.
Yeah, right. Or like if you've ever rented one of those Lime scooters, it makes you watch the entire here's how to not kill yourself on this thing before it turns the bike or the scooter on for you.
I've never been to an area where you can rent one. I mean, I've been to Louisville, but I've never actually like rented one.
We should do that as a class project. Like go up and just ride scooters around for a little bit.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
I don't want to take responsibility for no one getting hurt during that experience, but
we can sign a waiver. I think we all would.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So we have four products that have new personas attached to them. We didn't give names to all of them, but Curious Carl is in the mix. The Urban Curious or Urban E-Bike Curious.
Electric writer. Earl.
Yep. Electric Earl. Earl, a very common name for young people. We have the Chewing Charlie. And who is someone that doesn't go to the gym? Are they male or female?
Probably female.
Female. That
the Jim. Spelled different, but it sounds the same.
Yep. No Jim. No Jim. All right. These are examples of people who could be interested in a product that aren't currently the target of those products. And without changing anything about the product itself, we could reach out to those fictional human beings to see if we could generate some more sales. Thank you all for coming in for your research this morning, and we will be doing another one of these exciting recordings next week.